All ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrows. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Friday already, in our Lenten sermon, we talked about our Blessed Lady standing under the cross when we are meditating about the third word of our Lord at the cross, directed to our Blessed Lady and to St. John. And the Church today directs our attention before the most holy of all weeks in the entire year. She directs our attention to our Blessed Lady, the Mother of Sorrows. She wants us to go before Palm Sunday and before the Sacred Triduum on Holy Thursday and then on Good Friday and Holy Saturday. She wants us to go today, before all that, go to our Blessed Mother under the cross as she is standing. And we look to her and we go to her today, and we see her with seven sorrows in her heart. And our Blessed Lady today appears as the Mother sympathizing with Jesus and taking an active part in the sufferings, in the pains of her Divine Son. And by her own example teaches us that according to the Apostle, we must suffer together with our Lord Jesus Christ in this world if we wish to be glorified with Him in the next. When we think about the Sorrowful Mother, or the devotion to the Sorrowful Mother, Mary, the Mother of Sorrows, in truth, can exclaim to us the words of the prophet in the Sacred Scripture, "O all ye that pass by the way, attend and see if there be any sorrow like my sorrow." And how great were her sufferings, if you recall what we said last Sunday at this 13 and 14th station of the cross. And her principal suffering was not in her body, but in her soul. It is true, our human body is insensitive and can endure much. What pains do not some diseases and some sicknesses and infirmities of the body cause? And who is not seized with horror when he hears or reads of the tortures which many martyrs endured? But greater and more painful was the sufferings of the Mother of God, for she suffered not as the sick or the martyrs, not only in the body, but in her soul. The sword of sorrow did not pierce her body, but her soul, as Simeon had foretold her in the temple. Thy own soul a sword shall pierce. Now it is certain that the soul is susceptible of greater pains than the body. Who can describe in history the anguish of a criminal on the way to the place of execution? The body can endure pain only to a certain degree. And when that degree is passed, man faints or dies. But the soul, being spiritual, cannot lose consciousness, even in the greatest pain. And from this we may understand that the sorrows of our Blessed Lady of Mary surpass all that is bitter painful, because they were pains of the soul. And take all corporal pains together that men have suffered from the beginning of the world until now and will endure to the end of time, there is nothing when compared with the sufferings of the soul of Mary. And how much did our Blessed Lady suffer? Mary suffered as a mother, and she suffered as the mother of God. Mothers and good mothers love their children, take their liveliest interest in their prosperity, and grieve in their adversity. What their children suffer, as you know, they suffer. And this is particularly the case when they are witnessing the sufferings of their children. And our Blessed Lady felt in her heart all the sufferings which Jesus endured in all their bitterness. The heart of Mary, says St. Lawrence Justinian, resembled a mirror in which one could see the stripes and the wounds and all that Jesus endured. We may say that the heart of the Mother of Sorrows, on account of her love for her divine Son, was marked, was scourged, crowned with thorns, and crucified. But she suffered as the Mother of God. Other mothers love their children as they may perhaps love themselves, or sometimes even more than themselves, but always only as children of man. But the Mother of God loved differently, and she loves differently. Her Son is God Himself. As such, she loved Him infinitely more than any mother loves her child. As great as was her love for our Blessed Lord, and it was unspeakably great, so great also was her affliction at His sufferings, particularly during His bitter passion. If a mother who tenderly and affectionately loves her child would be ready to die, if by her death she could save her child from sufferings and death, in the case of Mary, we must go still further and say that she would have been ready to die 1,000 times if she could thereby have saved and delivered her divine child, her divine Son, from death. For Mary loved our Blessed Lord 1,000 times more than her own self and her own life. And now, if the pain must be measured according to love, it follows that Mary suffered more than if she had been scourged or ground with thorns and crucified 1,000 times. But our Blessed Lady suffered without any comfort. The holy martyrs were often tortured most painfully, but their love for Jesus so sustained them sometimes that in their inhuman and cruel tortures, they showed a courage and even sometimes a joyfulness that astonished even their torturers. For example, we know of St. Lawrence that lying on the Egyptian, he said to his torturers, "If you wish to eat my flesh, behold, one side is spoiled enough. Now turn me over and eat." Such was the courage and joy of St. Lawrence. But not so in the case of our Blessed Lady. Our Blessed Lady did not draw comfort from her love for Jesus because her suffering and dying son was the very cause of her pains. And her love for him was the source from which her sufferings flowed. And the more she loved him, the more bitter was her pain in her soul. And what mitigated the pains in the holy martyrs or the saints increased Mary's pain and inflicted the deepest wounds in her heart. And therefore, St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, in other martyrs, love diminished the pain. But the more Mary loved, the more she suffered, and the more painful was her martyrdom. Mary then, in truth, is the mother of sorrows, for what she suffered is more bitter and painful than all the sufferings of men. And we need not wonder about this, since Mary was destined to become the Queen of Heaven. She was obliged, yes, obliged to be the nearest to her son in sufferings in order to be able to be nearest to him in glory. Let us follow courageously in the footsteps of our Blessed Lady, the Mother of Sorrows. Let us sympathize with Mary. She deserves our most profound sympathy, for she is the Mother of Sorrows. Let us learn from Mary, the Mother of Sorrows, willingly to accept the sufferings and tribulations of this life from the hand of Almighty God and to bear them with patience. If Mary, the holiest, the glorious, and the purest of creatures, has suffered so much and so long, why should we sinners find our short and comparatively trifling sufferings too hard? Let us consider that crosses and afflictions are the most effectual means of expiating our sins, extinguishing the flames of purgatory, keeping us from sin, and gaining merits after merits for heaven. Let us gather round Mary, the Mother of Sorrows, and place ourselves with her and St. John under the cross, even under the cross of our own life, so that we will find after our death Mary as our Queen in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.